What do you get when you mix a film about survival, loneliness, friendship, acceptance, and farts? Why, you get the Swiss Army Man! But what you'll mainly get is farts.
So much farts.
Welcome to the Indie Film Review, everyone.
A podcast where you will get indie films and reviews and maybe farts.
That's Dan. I'm Jared. We review independent films here on Indie Film Review. I know. A novel concept. Dan.
Jared.
I'm celebrating today.
What are you celebrating?
I'm celebrating not having allergies anymore. That's what I'm celebrating.
Oh. That's a pretty good celebration for sure.
Yeah. I had it for like a month. It was terrible. I could really hear it on the old recordings that we did.
It's called hay fever.
Seriously, it's more like, hey, fever, you know what I mean? So, the movie we watched is Swiss Army Man. This movie is interesting. It came out in 2016.
Yes.
It was filmed in only a couple weeks. I think it was like 24 days on location around in California. I originally thought this movie, I don't know why I convinced myself of this, but I had heard some rumor that this film was made as a dare.
Really?
Or like a joke, yes. That Daniel Radcliffe lost a bet, and that losing the bet meant that he had to be in this film. But it was like, he was okay with it, because like he was friendly with all the people, you know what I mean? It was one of those things. It wasn't like...
Well, that's completely untrue. This film is directed by Daniel Scheinert and Daniel Kwan. They affectionately refer to themselves as Daniels. And you can go on their YouTube page, not YouTube, Vimeo page... And they have this really funny family portrait of themselves. And it looks really awkward and stupid. But they have all these short films as well as music videos. Mm. Like they did Turn Down for What? They did Rise of the Phoenix by Tenacious D. They have like a pretty good amount of independent features underneath their belt, which is pretty cool.
What's funnier is the two main leads, Paul Dano and Daniel Radcliffe.
Wow.
Yeah. We got a fucking Dan Fest going on. All right.
Hey, I'm Dan.
No, what? Conspiracy.
You're the only one that's not.
I know. What would my Danified name be?
I don't know, because there's no Dan in your name at all.
Like Danid?
Danid?
I think Danid would probably Jerdan. Be it. Or Jerdan, yeah, Jerdan. Jerdan Jordan. Sounds like a Game of Thrones name.
Jordan, that's what it is. Jordan is Jared Jordan. And Dan put together.
Yeah, you're right. Jordan. But you have to say it like that, like you're Conan.
Jerdan.
What is best in life? Jordan.
Godzilla had a nemesis named Rodan.
Oh, yes. The most famous of all Dans.
The most dangerous of all Dans.
And who could forget Tardan, everyone's favorite jungle swinging ape man. Why are you laughing? Why am I laughing? I'm confused. Tardan. Anyways, this is, we're going to review a film eventually. So Danny, Swiss Army Man, did you like this movie?
I enjoyed this movie. Yes, I did. Okay. Do you want me to give you a synopsis of what I think this film is about?
Yes, please.
Okay. God, I put myself on the spot.
Yeah, you did this to yourself.
No. So basically, Swiss Army Man is about a guy who is stranded on an island, and he befriends a corpse, and they have adventures together.
Yep, that's a really good synopsis of this movie. A man befriends a corpse. That helps him
overcome his crippling anxiety and introvertism.
Yes. Okay. So I enjoyed this movie too.
Right.
I liked it. There are, I'll definitely say the beginning is a little rough, but once certain things start to happen in the film, it gets a lot better.
Wait a minute.
And I really liked the creativity.
The beginning is rough.
Well,
you can't tell me that you were not taken aback in childlike wonder of a man riding a corpse jet ski across the ocean.
Spoilers.
Okay, so
that's not a spoiler. It's just that's like
it is like the first thing that happens.
Well, it's the first thing that happens, but it's also like the marketing, like the movie poster is that.
Yes, that's true. So when I first saw this film, I saw it in theaters.
Really?
When it released, and as soon as the film started, I would say 10 to 15 minutes in, once he has the corpse and he's being friends with it.
Uh huh.
People were getting up and walking out of the theater.
That happened at Sundance, too, I think.
Yeah, and I had read that also happened at Sundance. And I have just one word for you, Dan.
What?
Farts.
Farts. Oh, my God.
That's the reason why.
I feel like people don't like farts.
Don't like farts. And farts are hard to do in film. It's hard to make it funny. It's hard to keep making it funny.
I think it worked in this film.
That was my question. Like, do you think that the farts worked?
Farts worked in this film.
Now, did they 100% work all the time for you?
Yeah.
So you're always laughing. Okay.
Well, but then again, there's my juvenile sense of humor for you. Farts will always be funny to me.
I think if done correctly and sparingly, normally they can be funny in a comedy. I don't know. I normally don't want farts in the movie. They're kind of like a cheap thing.
You want your movies fart-free.
Yes. Hmm. Fart-free by 2020. That's my goal.
You think that's air you're breathing?
Yeah. Oh, no. Poop particle. Somehow this movie, I would say at least 70% to 80% of the fart jokes are working for me.
But the other 30% don't?
I'm just kind of like, all right.
I'm so confused. Okay, this is going to be a major hurdle that we have to overcome. Like, we're already 10 minutes into this show, and like we're having a debacle about farting.
Oh, welcome back to Fart Talk here.
So, which ones specifically? You know what? We're doing it. We're just pedal to the metal today, guys. Fucking spoilers here.
Okay, so we're both recommending this movie, right?
Well, yeah, but I don't care about recommending it. I need to get to the nitty gritty here.
This is for the audience.
Please go support the Daniels.
My two Dans.
My two Dans, yes. Between two Dans.
With Dandy Danamakis. So, if you really don't like farts, I guess don't see this movie.
Well, no, because this movie's endearing. You have to go...
Yes. That was the point of the farts. They wanted to make the farts funny, but by the end of the farts actually become endearing. And it's almost like a part of the plot. And it is, which is insane. So it's like they're trying to take the dumbest fucking shit and make it have meaning.
Yeah, and it works. So what I would suggest is we are going to recommend this movie, but listen, if you don't like farts, just listen to the show, and then even if there's spoilers, it's still a good movie to watch, I think.
Yeah, and you'll get farts, or the idea of farts, without actually having to hear the fart. And I think that's what really matters.
We are pretty fart heavy at the top of the show, and we're going to continue to be fart heavy because I need to know what 30% of farts did you not find funny?
Okay, in the beginning, God created man, and then God said, "Let there be farts."
That's what the Big Bang was. It just God farted. We are living on a fecal matter of the Lord himself.
What if the universe was just God farting underneath the covers of his blanket while he played Game Boy? And we're all just living in a giant Dutch oven of time and space. Did I just blow your mind right now?
A little bit.
In my mind, I have like a working title of all these fake movies that we make up. So Warehouse is in there. Dutch Oven Paradise is now in there.
Dutch Oven Paradise.
So I'm building a stable of terrible films that will never get made. Okay, so in the first start of this film, we have the main character is stranded on an island. He has escaped there to get away from his problems. He's running away from his issues.
Right.
And you don't necessarily know that immediately. It's just a guy on a deserted island surrounded by water.
Played by Paul.
He's trying to hang himself. And he finds the dead body that washes up. And he's like, oh, there must be some meaning to you. And like, the universe brought us here for a reason. And while he's like talking to this corpse and trying to help it, it just lets out a big old fart. And that was funny. And then the farts kind of become annoying to him. And then when he rides the guy with farts to get to shore, Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, this is pretty great. I'm liking the music. Oh, all the music is done a cappella.
Yeah, it's a cappella, and I think the music is my favorite part about the film.
Yes.
Because
yes.
It seamlessly blends dialogue into score. Like, it'll be something that Paul Dano's character is saying, and then it'll start repeating itself, and then it turns into music. It's fucking great.
This movie is insanely creative with the set design and the storytelling, because they use garbage to tell a lot of the backstory and stuff, because the character is insane, and he is trying to explain how the world works to the corpse. Mm-hmm. And that is the best part of the film.
Yeah, absolutely.
The film, for me, does not start... really, until Daniel Radcliffe starts talking, the corpse.
Which I was surprised by. I thought he was just going to be a corpse the entire time. I didn't realize he was going to talk.
My girlfriend was upset. She's like, is Daniel Radcliffe ever going to talk in this movie? She's like, what a waste if he's just sitting there as a corpse the entire film. And I just kept smiling at her. I didn't want to tell her. But those are definitely the best scenes in the film, is when he finally comes to life. But that's like most of the film.
Yeah.
But there is a little in-between moment when he gets to shore, he has his little Cheeto bag he's been eating, he's talking to the corpse, but all it's doing is farting, and mm-hmm. it's just, like, farting a lot, and then he's in the cave, and he's, like, you know, he's trying to survive, and the corpse is just farting. That was when the farts were like, okay, we need to relax with the farts.
You would say that the farts became stagnant.
Yeah. They're a little too rancid for me.
They lingered around too much.
Yes, 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 yes. I cannot argue with that.
I want my farts to be, you know, like crop dusts. They're there, then they're not.
The old in and out, you know, boom, bam, bing, bang, bomb. Hello to your mother. Gone, okay? But even the bad moments in this movie, or the uncomfortable moments, let's say, have a payoff later, the more you learn about the main character.
Right.
Because, like I said, you're learning about the main character through him trying to teach this corpse what being alive means.
And what I like about the corpse is it has such an earnest attitude. It's overwhelmingly positive, and it doesn't know how to filter itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it leads to a lot of really fun conversations between the two. So, like, the dialogue between the corpse and Dano... Well, Daniel Radcliffe and Dana are, like, they're really good. So dialogue gets a big check plus for me as well.
It's the best part of the film, and, like, him finding garbage and making use out of it. All the themes build up on each other.
Yeah.
There's almost no wasted scenes in the movie. Like, him messing with the garbage and making something new out of it is just an allegory for him and how he feels about himself.
Yeah.
And how, like, he feels like trash. And it's even said in the movie, like... Why do people throw these things away? And like, well, this thing's useless, this thing's empty, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, we're going to make new things out of it.
That's what I mean by the corpse was being earnest. Like, he wanted to know why things get discarded. And it really makes you sit back and realize what we take for granted, like whenever we throw shit away.
And then it becomes a whole thing about death.
And then it becomes a whole thing about weird boners.
Yeah, you're right, weird boners!
If this film does not have enough farts for you, well...
The boner to fart ratio, it really evens itself out, I feel. Especially when the boner is shown to a small child. Yes. That's when it really gets uncomfortable. Like, what the fuck? This movie's not afraid of being uncomfortable.
Right.
It does it often and frequently. Did you feel that the corpse talking, being alive, was in his head?
My sanity says yes, but at the same time, I like the kind of surreal nature of this film, and I like how vague it is.
Yeah, me too.
I would argue that, yeah, it was supposed to be in his head. It's a hallucination of sorts.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes corpses talk.
Because that ending is kind of insane, but that also could have all been in his head.
Yeah.
Certain things cannot be explained unless the corpse is real and actually doing those things. Because the Swiss Army Man... As we've said, he is constantly helping him do things. He is giving him spit water from his mouth. He is lighting fires with his farts. He is chopping wood with his rigor mortis arm. He can use him as a hunting rifle. If he puts pellets and random objects in his mouth and cocks his head. So he's like killing raccoons with this thing and birds.
Yeah.
How else would he really be doing that is the thing, you know what I mean? a lot of other things, it's like, okay, he chopped the wood himself, or he figured out a way, you know? He figured out a way to light a fire. But how does he shoot a bird out of the sky?
Maybe he didn't really, and that was just in his head.
Another interesting thing about the movie is how close or far away he may be to civilization.
Yeah. Like, it almost seems like he was in his neighborhood woods.
Yes.
And his neighborhood woods empty out into, like, the sea, and then he saw an island that was not too far away.
I don't even know if there was an island, honestly.
Really?
That could have all been in his head. Who knows?
Maybe the corpse is in his head, but no, because the corpse, everybody reacts to the corpse.
The explanation for that is sometimes corpses wash up on the beach. Well, so they just think he found the corpse.
Here is the only thing that I find to be, let's just say, missing from the movie. And maybe it didn't need to be there. I don't know. But it was something that was unsettling to me.
More farts?
Yeah, definitely more farts. But in addition to more farts, the fact is he kind of subverts our expectations of, you know, we found the phone on the corpse and we're getting to know who this corpse was through, you know, the phone and all the stuff that he does with the corpse, right? But then at the very end, we find out that he kind of was projecting himself onto the corpse, and everything that he was talking about had to do with him instead of the corpse.
Yes. Yeah.
So who was the corpse and how did the corpse get there? Like, that's a huge unanswered question, because we spent like all this time investing in, you know, the corpse has a girlfriend and things like that.
It was clear to me that the phone was never Daniel Radcliffe's, that it was always his, and that he was using the corpse, because whenever the corpse looked at a pretty lady, because they find a Sports Illustrated, the corpse gets a boner, and that boner is a compass that leads them to home.
Are you guys following?
It's insane, I know.
How do you not want to watch this movie?
This is an this is the fucking movie, Boner Compass. So he accidentally, when he falls, his phone comes out, and Daniel Radcliffe sees it and goes, who is that lady on your screensaver? Because he was taking pictures of that woman on the bus that he was afraid to talk to. And he was pretending in his own head that it was his girlfriend that he was trying to get back to.
Yeah.
But Daniel Radcliffe sees it, and then he decides, okay, I'm going to trick the corpse into thinking that this is his phone and that
this is Paul Dano's
girlfriend. Yes.
Yeah.
So it was clear for me from the beginning that that's what was going on, that he was misleading his friend.
The corpse.
Who is also him, like, in his mind. So it's like his subconscious tricking himself, if you want to believe that. And it, again, it is fun how, like, you're not sure what's really going on. That kind of whole playing with that was interesting to me. And then he has this, like, little fishing pole on a string, and it's got the phone in front of him, so while he's carrying the corpse can have the boner, so he knows which way to go. How did you feel about the weird bear scene at the end?
At that point, like, I've already invested so much time and attention to how absurd this movie is.
Yeah.
So it didn't really bother me too much, but it was a weird scene.
Yeah. They get attacked by the bear, and the main character gets his leg hurt, and then they activate the corpse so that he farts, and they go so high up into the sky that they're in a tree, and now the bear is below them. And they have this long conversation about giving up on life and suicide, and it gets really intense and emotional, and I kind of like that.
Yeah.
And it gets very introspective for the main character, and the more bad things or negative things that the corpse says and talks about, the weaker that the main character becomes, and he starts falling out of the tree. And that's when you're like, okay, this definitely is in his head, right? It's like he's thinking about these things, and they're like assaulting him, and it's almost like him giving up on being alive and letting the bear kill him. But then when he falls out of the tree, he falls right back into the same position he was before. So it's almost like, did any of that even happen? You're not really sure. And like, did he just scare him away with fire? And then you have that ending, you know what I mean? Where it's like, what?
Yeah.
I will say, I mean, the camera work is great. The special effects are awesome.
So what would detract from the film, in your opinion? Is it the narrative?
Only certain scenes become extremely outrageous, but it's for the sake of comedy. But what's weird is, like, I don't think of this movie really as a comedy for the most part.
Do you think of it as? A drama?
A character study? Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Because I was so much more invested in this guy and what's going on with him.
Well, who says your character studies can't have comedy in them?
Well, yeah, no, like, sometimes the comedy works. Like, when he talks about how he doesn't like to masturbate because it makes him think about his deceased mother. And then the corpse is like, oh, well, I'm going to think about your mom when I masturbate now. He's like, no, you can't do that. That's weird. And then they get into, like, what is weird? And they talk about why things are weird and why weird isn't good. And I enjoyed all that. I loved it. But other times, it just, you know, like I said, some of the earlier farts, I was kind of like, all right, let's get the movie rolling. Come on. Other times, the farts worked. I don't know. So it's a hit or miss, like any comedy, really, if you think about it. Was there any scene that you wanted to talk about, Dan?
I think we've talked about the majority of the scenes that I had written down. Just the attention to detail whenever he's building the bus out of garbage and having, like, the revolving image of trees going by.
When he's looking at the fake window? Yeah, yeah, that was really fucking great.
So, like, all of the set design and props in this movie serve the film very well. And it was only done for, like, $3 million, I think, was the budget for this movie. So it's a pretty tight budget. They kind of opened up the set design to imagination. And I think that's really what made the film work.
He eventually goes to meet the woman. He somehow knows where she lives, which is creepy. The woman in his own head that he had a relationship with, but never did in real life. He goes to meet her. He gets knocked out, and Daniel Radcliffe, the corpse, carries him there, which is crazy. Yeah. So it's like, was he just passed out in his brain? Like, who patched him up, you know? Like, who fixed his leg? So it's like, maybe he is real.
And it turns out that this woman has a husband and a daughter.
Yes. So there's no chance of him ever starting a romantic relationship with this lady. And there never was, really. But he gets help, and the police arrive, and then he finds out they're just going to throw away the corpse. They're going to burn it or whatever, like trash. And he's like, no, you can't take him away. He's my friend. So he goes back into the woods, goes all the way back to the beginning of the film in like 30 minutes maybe in movie time. And in our time, it takes like 2 minutes. But it makes me think that his entire journey took him that long. It didn't need to take him that long. You know what I mean? Like, right, he was never far away from home, like we were saying. And he was just going crazy in the woods because he wanted to just escape everyone. Oh, did we mention most of the film, the main character's pretending to be the girl on the bus?
No.
He's dressed up as a woman.
Yeah, he's dressed up as a woman for a good portion of the film.
And this is to have the corpse remember his past life that he knows doesn't actually exist. He's just trying to remind him about humanity and why it is good to be alive. But what happens is they kind of start forming a romantic relationship together.
Between a corpse
and a man in drag.
And a man in drag.
Did I mention this film doesn't shy away from being uncomfortable? It gets really weird.
I mean, that's the best compliment I feel like we can give to the movie. It's just, it's a strange movie that it's wildly imaginative. And like you said, it's not afraid of getting you to feel uncomfortable.
Yes. And I enjoyed the themes a lot. I liked what this movie was trying to do. So there's so many check marks and good things about this movie. I can understand why people would be turned off, though.
Absolutely. But, like, the acting, I think, is what carries the film, because you have Paul Dano being fucking great.
Yes.
And then you have Daniel Radcliffe acting like a fucking corpse. Like, he maintains his face, his rigor mortis face, the entire film, while talking, which is incredibly impressive.
Apparently, he insisted on doing a lot of his own stunts.
Really?
There were certain stunts that they would not let him do because they wanted to use a dummy for a lot of the scenes. And he's like, no, I want to do it. So there's a lot of, like, a man carrying another man.
Well, and, like, I feel like this is one of those films that is proving to me that he has kind of got out of typecast and he's no longer Harry Potter. He's a legit actor for stage and screen.
Yeah, I like Daniel Radcliffe a lot. I think he is a good actor, and he definitely does a lot of smaller movies now, but a lot of them are good.
Oh, he's in a movie called Jungle that I wanted to see. A group of
Is it a sequel to this film?
Probably, no. A group of friends join a guide for a trek into the Bolivian jungle, searching for an Indian village. The men soon realize that the jungle is a difficult place to be.
Yeah, no shit. Well, I believe that is everything. We recommended the movie.
Yeah,
we talked about the movie.
A nice, quick episode. I like
And we said farts a whole lot. So I think we've covered everything.
I think we have.
So please find us on Facebook at Indie Film Review. You can find us on Twitter at Indie Film Pod.
Instagram is at Indie Film Review Pod.
Yes. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. As always, we are hosted on Podbean, indiefilmreview.podbean.com. You can hit us up on any one of these. I should say this at the beginning, but like if you're looking for the show, I mean, you've already found it, but if you want to find a better way to listen to it, like, just listen to it on apps. Like, everyone keeps asking me, I'll get messages saying, like, they have trouble listening to it on Podbean. I guess maybe there's an issue with it on your phone. Like, it's harder to listen to it on Podbean on your phone.
Yeah.
Get an application. Get, like, Podcast Addict.
Or Apple iTunes.
Yeah, Apple iTunes. Apple we're on there. We're on everywhere. Anywhere you can get podcasts, we can...
We're on Spotify.
Get in your ear hole. Yeah. Spotify. Are we on Stitcher?
I think so.
I don't know. Let's just say we are. We're on all those things. Go find us. So, hearts and kisses. Yeah. Dan, you have the final word. I was wondering if we were going to get through the entire episode without doing a fart noise. And I now know.
Well, it's my final word. I have to put a stamp on it. You know what I mean?